All right, I'm now going to let this record for longer than 8 seconds to see if it actually does record something. Yeah, so let's see. It's on automatic. Keep going. 6. Well, it's not seconds, it's bars. Because this is actually a music application. There it goes.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for Monday, March 14th, 2011. Date makes no sense, but it does make sense, because we got back from PAX early this morning. I'm AJ Minotti. I'm going to be your host for this PAX episode. You'll hear from Mike later on, along with a few other people. As I like to do at PAX, armed with my iPad as a recording device, I spoke with some people that we were hanging out with this weekend. So what I'm going to do is run a couple different segments. It's kind of all piecemeal together because we tried to record this as we were getting ready for the final round of the Omegathon and the closing ceremony. So it kind of keeps starting and stopping as the line moved. So I'll try to make this sound as good as I can, and I'll provide some interstitials as necessary. So I hope you enjoy our look at PAX East 2011, and let's get started.
All right. So, hi. This is AJ, totally not re-recording this, at PAX East in Boston. It's Sunday. It's around 5 o'clock. We're going to go to the Megathon and the closing ceremony very shortly. We've been at PAX all weekend. We're going to record me and Mike a little bit after this. But as I'm waiting here, I'm here with some people. The first two people I'm going to introduce you to are our friends, Aaron and Jess. They are from Ottawa. We met them the first day of the show when they were just in line behind us, and we started talking, and Jess pulled out this giant bag of candy and offered us some, and has been doing that pretty much all weekend, which makes her super cool.
Canadian candy.
Yes. Coffee crisps are my new addiction. I have to find out where I can get more of those. we've been like hanging out with them all weekend, and so what I thought I'd do is first I'm going to ask Aaron here, what at PAX was your favorite thing, Aaron?
What was my favorite thing? Several things. The panels, the tabletop, the people. So just coming here, I didn't have any expectations, which is a good way to come in. But I mean, my expectations were blown away. Mike and Jerry's panels, all of them are gold. I just find them hilarious. Scott and Chris last night slayed me. They were bar none the funniest.
Explain what the Scott
and slayed him. He came back to life.
Explain what the Scott and Chris panel
It was essentially a comedic talk show format. It was just the two of them, and they cracked jokes pretty much for 3 hours and just drank straight to alcohol.
Ooh, I think we're going in or something. I don't know. We were asked if we were ready to roll. Oh, there's the beach ball, too. So, yeah, basically they just talk and get drunk. It's fun.
Yeah, they make the fools of themselves, and that was one of definitely the highlights. The other main highlight was definitely meeting a bunch of awesome people.
So Jess has been working fervently on recreating Gabe and Tycho with pipe cleaners. It actually looks, she's got the hair down, which I would have to imagine is the hard part.
It's really hard with lines to attach things because you can't just have pipe cleaners randomly floating, unfortunately. So the face is a lot more difficult.
So Jess, what did you like about PAX?
The panels as well. The panels were absolutely incredible. But the community has been awesome. I wasn't sure how I would fit in with people, and it has been an amazing reception, and I have loved it as well. I don't know what's going on. There's just a lot of screaming. But the tabletop area, we learned some awesome new games, and I'm excited to bring them home to my family and friends and just test them out back home. So, yeah. I can't wait to come back. You don't really want to go home.
What?
Hey, Mike and Chris just showed up. I'll talk to you later. I'm going to talk to Colin now. See, now this at least the second time around, I know you.
Oh, yeah, hey, mate, long time no see.
Yeah. So I'll just briefly mention, I made a great crack before about how much I love the authoritative quality of the British accent. But it's true, because Colin's going to tell you all right now, in his own inimitable fashion, why PAX is so awesome. Colin, take it away.
Well, to me, PAX is awesome on a couple of counts. The first one is that we're all gamers, but when we game, even though it's a social activity, it's more often than not done in isolation. So you go online, go through the internet, those various forms of engagement. By actually coming here, it's a fantastic reinforcement of the fact that what you do is a socially powerful movement. It highlights the fact that you are not alone and cut off from the kind of the group mind, because if you think about it, when you look at how other kind of groups, communities have their own kind of platforms, they're normally transmitted through like normal media. But with gaming, it's a more slightly underground culture, even though it's one of the more powerful industries. So it's really great to be able to come to PAX and see what is just a pure community of happy life.
Whoa. We're going in.
Guys,
help her get her pipe cleaner.
I got the stray pipe cleaner.
All right, we're going to go into the closing ceremony now. You got everything? Okay. All right, we're walking in. And let's see.
I'll come find you.
All right. So yeah, we're walking up to the Megathon now. I'm gonna give the mic back to Colin as soon as I can, because what he was saying was awesome.
Where do you go? Where's Colin?
I'm here.
Oh God, you're right in front of me. Good. So, continue where you were, please, sir.
Well, what I was going to talk about is that one thing I like about PAX is the intelligence of the people who actually come to this convention. And two, it's the way that intelligence is treated and respected in the panels. We have panels here about the mechanics of game design, the ethics and morality of gaming, gender equality, issues with disability in gaming. The medium is a respectful medium, and it's a conversational medium. These are all topics up for conversation, and this is just a great place for where you can actually share your thoughts with people in the industry.
Okay. Where's my mic? There it is. All right. Jess is still working on her pipe cleaners before we go in. 20 minutes, by the way. So I want to talk to her, though, because she's got some really cool Child's Play stuff she's going to talk about. So, Jess, talk about Child's Play.
Okay, so I arranged a meeting with Jamie, who is the new hire at Penny Arcade. Her episode hasn't aired yet, for those of you who watch Paw TV. Anyway, and she's in charge of Child's Play stuff now. And I was talking to her about doing some work for Child's Play from Canada. Sorry, guys, I sound really just slow and not right.
She's working very hard right now.
I'm really distracted.
It looks great, though.
But anyway, so I'm going to be dealing with helping her make an info packet for people that are going to be doing fundraisers and attending events if they need me to and things like that in Canada. So I'm going to be a liaison for Child's Play in Canada, and I'm pretty excited about that. So, yeah.
Good for you. Okay, what else? Mike made a hand puppet. I don't think that counts. That's just you holding some twisted pipe cleaner. Mike, do you want to record stuff now? Do you want to wait till we're in the car? Just do it on the way home. Okay. Where's Chris? That's a good idea. Okay, I'm going to go pee, and Mike's going to talk about PAX. Here, Mike. Just make sure the screen doesn't fall asleep. Keep tapping it.
Do that. Hi, AJ. Where's the mic? What the hell? The little hole. This is going to sound great.
It sounds good, actually.
Talking to a stupid iPad. Well, what did you guys talk about? I met with silence. They're throwing a beach ball around. I'm like live blogging. This is like Neo shit. Aaron just hit the hell out of that beach ball. It looks like it's flying around dangerously. So, PAX, I played a lot of games, as you were off to do. Played some card games.
Do you need to do a halo effect?
This is fascinating radio, I know. This is why I prefer the core things in the comfort of my basement. It's so loud here and everyone's looking. Well, not at me, but they're all looking at things. Oh, you know what I did play, though? Firefall. I don't know if anybody ever even heard about this. I mean, apparently it was announced at the last PAX. I missed out on that somehow. I think everyone's too busy talking about Duke Nukem. Chris just put a... What do you call this, Chris? The flower necklace thing from Hawaii? It's the flower necklace thing from Hawaii, and it's on me now. Well, we don't. But yeah, I was playing Firefall, which is... I guess it's going to be like a... first-person MMO, although the guy I was talking to was very hesitant to use that term, but it is a persistent world, and you are a guy who shoots things, and I guess there's a big PvE element that they weren't really showing that. They were mostly showing, like, I mean, it sounds silly to call it the PvP when it's just, you know, team deathmatch, but, you know, that's what it is. And I think you still queue up for the team deathmatch. Anyways, you pick classes and you hover. It was very much Team Fortress meets Tribes meets Planetside meets probably something else, World of Warcraft, I guess, because, you know, you get skills, and they are assigned to, like, they have hotkeys, like, on the bar, like, you know, push one to do this skill. And I guess you learn new ones as you level up and stuff, and there's loot and armor. So, yeah, if there's been a game like this already, I don't know about it. I was kind of surprised it took this long, I suppose, minus Planetside, but even that was kind of a weird beast, wasn't it? Don't really know. You know, that... I don't think you learned skills and so much. Like, that was a weird thing where... I don't think you leveled up. I think you just got money and you used the money to upgrade yourself and make yourself better and shit like that. But, It had a huge booth, too, for a game I never heard of. But, yeah, it was just like Team Deathmatch, and I don't know. It just played really well. It seemed neat. For some reason, it really piqued my interest. Besides that, Mortal Kombat was a lot of fun, actually. Plus, like... here's what I like about the Mortal Kombat line, besides the game itself. See... with Mortal Kombat, you play a match and you're done, and the next people can go in. So many of the demos here are, like, 30 minutes longer. Like, somewhere, like, the KOTOR demo is you play through a raid, like a 5-man dungeon. 4-man dungeon, technically. But, like, you do that, and it's, like, an hour long. And so, of course, the line is ridiculous. Why can't people just play for... for an MMO, I guess I kind of get it. You have to play for all, you get the feel, but an hour, God, that's excessive. Like, even some of the other ones, just... I don't need to play your game for 20 minutes. I'm standing in a very hot and crowded exhibition hall. I want to play for maybe 5 minutes, get the gist, move on. I got more shit to do. You know what I mean? Don't laugh at me. I'm trying to imagine myself recording this in a vacuum. It's the only way I can get through.
So at this point, we had to get up hastily because the Omegathon began, and we all went inside. So we did the Omegathon... we said our goodbyes to everybody, jumped in the car to prepare for our 10-hour drive home, where we actually finished recording. So when we pick it up now, this is just like a couple hours later. Chris is driving, Mike and I are in the back. So yes, I hope you guys can hear everything well enough. I know it's hectic. There's, you know, crowds, and we're recording using GarageBand on my iPad, which worked really well, but having never used it before... we actually, you might have heard me referencing this, we had to record the beginning a second time because I forgot to make it longer than 10 seconds, and we didn't hear any of it. But yeah, good times. So this is going to be us in the car, and we're really tired when you hear this. Keep that in mind. I think Mike repeats himself a bit from before, but that's okay. It's all here. It's all raw. It's all real. So yes, I'm going to turn you back over to the recordings, and then the show will end. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
So we're driving home now from PAX after the keynote. They played Ikaruga at the end, so that was pretty awesome. What I was trying to get at before was that L.A. Noire is basically like Ace Attorney Investigations. And that's all I got to say for now, and I'll go into more detail on the next podcast when I'm in person in the comfort of my basement.
Sorry, here, give me that.
What about Chris?
What did you think about PAX?
It was excellent.
What'd you like best?
Scott Kurtz night, except for those two douchebags who were... well, I guess the one was a douchebag.
The one was just drunk.
That Brad guy, he was driving me crazy. Scott had so many great stories to tell, and he's so good at telling them. And every single time, they were ruined by this Brad guy. That drove me nuts, but it was still the best thing.
What was your favorite game?
Favorite game? playing was probably Mortal Kombat, because I pwned Mike Zors, but then he pwned me in return. And
you did a fatality, and I didn't.
Yeah,
so
that makes me much, much better than you. I also really like Firefight. Was that what it was called?
Firefall.
Firefall. That was excellent. And L.A. Noire was probably my number one pick, though.
Damn, we didn't get to play, but still.
But it was, yeah, it was awesome. I can't wait.
Okay. Now drive me home.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna finish recording this so I could go to sleep, so that I could actually drive most of the drive.
When are you putting this up?
This is gonna go tomorrow, Monday.
Early tomorrow?
Sure. Well, whenever I wake up tomorrow.
Oh, okay. It's gonna be good. I mean, you kind of record it off your iPad.
It's gonna be fantastic. I'm gonna record interstitials.
I edit my part so that I said a lot of stupid things in the beginning because I didn't know what to say for a while.
Like, I make everybody sound good.
No, you don't. You keep in the stupid long boring things because you think it's funny, but it's not.
Mike, I make everybody but you sound good.
I know, and you're gonna make me sound as stupid as I actually am sometimes.
Look, I take great pride in the PAX podcast. Okay, I want it to be good. I take fantastic pride.
Bye, everybody. I'm going to sleep now.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk then. Okay, let's see the PAX time. So, what I liked a lot about PAX this year, because like last year's PAX,
you didn't go yet.
No,
I have to listen to this.
That's what I want to do it now, so I go to bed.
Interject though, it'll be funny.
Okay, fine. You can shout from the background because I'm not going to aim the mic at you every time you talk. If you want,
just pay attention to the road.
Yeah, you drive. For those of you playing the home game, that's Chris's girlfriend, Krista.
Unless she's on the podcast.
Hey, mom, you could be on the podcast too now. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
That's our mom. Okay. They did not go to PAX.
That's why we had a lovely time.
Oh, come on. They went inside. You said it was nice.
We went to Fenway Park and what else? We went to Harvard.
We went to Cheers.
We went to Cheers. And we went to Top of the Hub.
Top of the Hut.
Top of the Hub.
And got to see everything around Boston. It was beautiful, fantastic. Wish the weather was a little bit warmer, but we had a great time. Great restaurants, great people, good time. Thanks, Age.
So that's Boston. We brought my mom and Chris really because we're sick of telling people we've been to Boston. Like, oh, what's the city like? I was like, I don't know. I played video games all weekend, so I'm just going to tell my mom stories like they're mine. So Fenway Park is old. Anyway, yes. So let's see. This year's PAX was cool.
Why was it cool?
Because, well, see, last year's PAX was cool because it was like...
Right, last year's PAX was cool too.
They were both cool.
Oh, but in different ways.
Yes, because last year's PAX is all like, hey, here's like these people that we've been podcasting with and we've known online for a few years now, and we all get to finally meet, and that's awesome. And, like, we put like, you know, fleshy faces to the digital voices that we've known so long. Hey, it's that We Sell Guns billboard from last year. I remember that. Anyway, but this year what was really cool is
Fenway.
Yeah, we just drove past it.
Ah, cool.
We just drove past Fenway Park and went, sorry, this is going to be really disconjointed. Anyway, what was cool this year is I actually had the opportunity to just meet a lot of people and, like, you know, just make some friends. Because, like, you know, you heard already from Jess and Aaron, who, you know, we spent pretty much most of the weekend with. They were really cool. They were super into all the Penny Arcade stuff like I am. So, you know, they went to all the Q&As with us, and they hung out the late night with Chris and Scott panel. And they were just generally two really cool people. So I was, like, super glad to meet them and just get to hang out with them and get to know them. And then on Friday night, they kind of went off while we went to the concert. They met two people from Boston, although the one's currently living in Texas, and they were named Jeff and Sarah. And they told Jess and Aaron about the Learn to Play D&D sessions that were going on throughout the day. So I went over with them and met Jeff and Sarah, and then we were lined up to do the Learn to Play D&D. We needed a six, and that's when we met this guy, George, from Philadelphia. And so the six of us got teamed up with the DM, and we got to learn how to play some D&D, and we fought a dragon. And it was, like, a super fun time.
Did you lose?
No, we beat the dragon and got riches galore.
It must have been a pretty bad dragon.
200 gold pieces. It was a young dragon. And, you know, it wasn't...
You killed a baby dragon?
It was not baby, young. Like in his 20s.
I don't know.
Punk. Punk dragon.
20 is probably, like, 2 in dragon years.
How do you know that?
They probably live a lot longer.
Okay, he was the dragon equivalent of 20.
Going, you baby dragon murderer.
Your pass line, right, AJ?
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Anyway,
Is
Put the cookies here. Crystal. So let's see, and then you heard from Colin too. Who, I mean, I literally, like, I sat down in the line for the final round, and Jess and Aaron were there, and I was gonna record them. And this guy was hanging out with them. I was like, "Hi, I'm AJ," and he started just talking to me. And I mean, you heard what he said; it was amazing. He's just a really, really cool guy.
Is that the British guy?
Yes, he was well dressed. He had a very nice suit on.
Well, he was English.
No, he's Scottish, actually. He's from Scotland originally.
No,
he's
not.
Yes, he is. He's from Scotland, but he lives in London. Right. He's also lived all over the world. There you go.
Funny, because he seemed to have picked up the accent in English.
You could hear some of the brogue. It came out. Ooh, cookies.
Cookies. Get away from them.
Give me a cookie.
What are they?
So yeah, I mean, just getting to meet all of them and hang out with them was super, super fun. And, I mean, the highlight of the show for me by far. Like, it was just really great. As far as, you know, the video games.
Which one's this?
I know, like, Mike and Chris already talked about L.A. Noire. It was like a live play demo, so we didn't get to play, but we watched someone play it. But it's going to be like this year's Red Dead. Like, it's just unbelievable how good it looks. I'm going to get a cookie.
Are we talking about L.A. Noire?
Yes.
Do you want to see Mrs.
Monica? The facial expressions are really good.
Yeah, like, that facial capture thing is uncanny. It's really something else to see. The gameplay is fantastic. What I liked the best about that whole demo, and it lasted a good 20 minutes. Not a single gunshot fired, which is exactly what I was hoping for the game. Like, I know there's going to be gunplay, and that's fine, but it's not gratuitous. It's not there when it doesn't have to be. Like, it seems like they're doing it right. So that's awesome. Games I played, let's see. What was it called? Fire what?
Firefall.
Firefall. Free-to-play MMO first-person shooter. Well, it's not really an MMO. There's rounds.
It's, well,
there's an open world.
From what I understand, you can, like, it's almost like Battlegrounds in WoW. Like, you just kind of queue up for that.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think. That's what I got from just talking to the guy. But there is a persistent open world still for PvE, and there's a lot of, like, teaming up your buddies. Like, you make your guild, and that's, like, your clan. I guess it's more like it. You have your emblem. It's like a team. You know? Instead of being, like, Red Team on Team Fortress, you're just in Pony Express. That's your guild, and you have a logo, and it's on your shirt.
That's cool. Okay, yeah, so that game was totally rocking.
That was like the game I discovered this year that, like, I didn't know anything about before.
That is this year's Split Second?
That was this year's Split Second. Totally.
Let's see, I got to play the Gunstringer, which is the Kinect game coming from Twisted Pixel.
Are you pushing the screen so it doesn't freeze up? Sorry.
Yeah,
I played Gunstringer.
Everything's rocking here. Yeah, it was fun. What'd you think?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was the first Kinect game I played that actually played a lot like a game.
Yeah, which is nice. Well, you didn't play. I did, and this is my favorite game I played at PAX.
What, Trench?
Child of Eden.
Oh
man, it is fun. Like, you know how people talk about that kind of like trance zoned out experiencing when you're playing Rez?
Yeah.
Yeah, times 100 in this. Huh. You get into that rhythm of just switching between, because when you have your right hand out, it's like the...
Put your right hand in. Think all about... Now I'm launching an Okie Pokie.
But no, when you have your right hand out, it's like, that's like the paint target mode. Like, right. And then when you just... All you do is just thrust your hand forward to shoot.
Well, it's not entirely different from Gunstringer.
No, it's not. But then when you switch hands, then when you have your left hand out, it's doing, like, just constant rapid fire.
Okay.
And then if you throw both hands up, and then if you throw both hands up in the air and thrust forward with them, that's like a bomb.
See, I forgot I didn't play that, or else I might have tried to queue up for it towards the end there. It's like the one big thing I didn't play.
I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, if you like Rez, this is basically Rez 2, just played with your hands.
Well, you got to see a 3DS for the first time, right?
Yes, I did play a 3DS.
See,
I played.
I like this because we're like podcasting now.
Yeah.
And also good on the one-on-one.
I know. Stuff. So, with the 3DS, I played Resident Evil Mercenaries. Steel Diver.
What was the first? I always want to know about, like, your first.
Oh, like my first
experience.
Like
you turned it on like that. Now you understand. Now you understand. How
yeah, I was like, How's what devilry is this?
Right.
It's really. Oh my god, it's cool. It's cool. It's more about depth into the screen than things popping out at you.
For sure.
But it's fantastic.
Like, you really notice that then.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
weird.
It's really cool.
We did the AR card. That was neat.
The AR cards are so cool.
The one time, like, the 3D was, like, almost overwhelming, that was for Pilot Wings.
Yeah, well, because Pilot Wings has a super long draw distance, and, like, you feel yourself going cross-eyed because your Mii is in the front there, and he goes out of focus. So, you know, you just adjust the slider,
yeah,
and it's fine.
Yeah, you just adjust the slider.
I can totally understand why that thing's there. Steel Diver...
I didn't play that one.
It's not a game I would pay full what retail price. I
mean, wait, right ankle Mountain Dew.
There's no Mountain Dew by my right ankle. I wouldn't pay full retail price for this. It's simple. There's one mode I know that it wasn't demoed, but I know about it, where you're like, you're like from a side view driving the sub and avoiding depth charges and things like that. And then the mode they demoed is where it's like you're looking through a periscope and you actually have to physically turn using the gyroscopes to aim at the enemy ships.
Here's my one problem with the 3DS when I saw it. I noticed this mostly in the AR card game. The gyroscope thing, like moving around your DS and it's like 3D, you have to look at the one specific angle thing, does not play nice with each other.
Well, you have to like lock your arms.
I know, but it's
like Steel Diver sitting in a spinning office chair would be cool.
Well, sure. Well, yeah, that would be neat.
But let's see. Zelda.
Yeah, Zelda.
3D, awesome.
I mean, it was Ocarina of Time, but in 3D.
And here's the thing. I mean, this is what's great. Even if you don't want to play in 3D, you just turn that slider off, and you have a remake of. It's not a port. It's a remake with enhanced graphics and everything.
Right.
Using the gyroscope for aiming, which is actually worked pretty well. You know, on a portable. And then,
Kid Icarus is definitely the most ambitious one.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of has that whole use the touchscreen as a second analog stick thing, which I hate this.
Well, it works. Okay,
it works good in the flying levels. It felt awkward in the ground levels.
Because you move the camera with it, but you can kind of flick it, and I didn't realize that first, and it works a lot better.
Oh, you can?
Just flick it and it turns like 90 degrees. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
Yeah.
I wish I knew that.
It's basically like a Panzer Dragoon or a Star Fox, though.
Oh, well, that makes a little more sense then. Good to know.
Yes.
So let's see. What else did I play?
You? Well, you played Warp.
Yeah, Warp is cool. This is going to be this year's Explosion Man.
It's
like an overhead 3D game, and every time you push the A button, you just teleport 5 feet in front of you.
I mean, I already described it. So
cool. It's fun.
It was neat, though.
I also felt like I was pretty good at it.
Oh, I mean, I guess. You kind of blew the one section. Well, you were not being stealthy at all. You were just killing everyone.
I know. It was fun.
Yeah. That's the point.
So yeah, that's it for video games. But also, I had a pretty good time discovering like some card games and stuff.
Before we move on to that, there's gonna be a couple games I should still talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
I did play Tor: The Old Republic.
Oh, how was it?
It was cool. Well, I was talking before. Most people were doing like a raid. Some people just got to pick a class and go through the starting area, and that's what I did. So, and there was two set up for. The Alliance or the Republic and two for the Empire. How is this still the Empire? That's been a different Empire.
Yeah.
Okay, but the bad guys and good guys. Sith, Jedi, I'm going to say that. But there's like two other people and they took the Jedi. So I was like, okay, I'll be the Sith. So I was a Sith like warrior. So like basically the melee Sith class. And you're playing through this. And I mean, it is a lot like WoW. And not just so much like, you know, well, you can say, oh, a lot of MMOs are like WoW. Well, what really made it a lot like WoW to me was the fact that, like, the Sith was basically a warrior from World of Warcraft. Like, he stored rage and then spent it. And it was literally called rage.
Ah.
It was, like, the same thing. It was weird.
Is it right then to say it's, like, WoW with more story?
Yeah, it is. And he,
is that okay?
I am thinking about this a lot. I honestly have to write about this.
Because you've been kind of down on this game.
I'm at the write about it because, Adrian, that's not what... It makes no sense for an MMO in some ways. I'm sorry. Like, when I was looking at people playing the encounter, before they do it, there's, like, a long cutscene with all four of them. They're talking to, like, one of the Yodas, you know, and, like, for a while. And that's cool in a way, but it's not what...
You're going to get in a pickup group, and everyone else can be like, oh, skip the cutscene.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going to be like, I see this already. It just doesn't make... Like, I know what they're doing, and I bet leveling through this game will be fun. It will be. I don't know about the end of game content working like that. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But yeah, maybe like I saw some things that I didn't get to try that maybe are going to make it more distinct from WoW.
You didn't get to go to space, did you?
Well, no, I didn't get to, but they showed a video and it just looked like a really good space level. I don't know how exactly you tie that in.
Whatever.
Yeah, but then maybe the shooting classes are different cuz that, you know.
Well, there's cover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is one thing. Is that cover actually matters, so that's kind of interesting because, like, you know, and WoW, that makes no difference. It's all kind of dice rolls. But in the same way, that's when I think about that, I think that's a whole nother level of complexity that it sounds like it could easily be manipulated, warped, broken. I don't know. see how they deal with that.
Right.
It's a weird time. As time will tell thing. I mean, if anything is going to be World of Warcraft, or be able to at least be its competitor, be like that close runner up, it will be this. But that still means it has like maybe a 10% chance of doing it instead of a 0.1% chance.
Right.
But it definitely looks pretty.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised how good it looked just watching the videos and stuff, right, and some of the gameplay. Yeah.
And it is Star Wars. I wonder how different it is with these classes too, because it feels like you're playing the same character a lot of times. I don't know. It's just there's a lot of questions. I have more questions than answers after playing it, really. But
is there another game you said then?
I'm trying to think. I played some shmup with Chris. I can't remember the name. It was some sort of.
What'd you play, Chris?
What's that shmup we played? The last thing we played. It's basically
like Ikaruga.
It was basically Ikaruga, but like instead of black and white, it was foreground background.
I have a business card in.
Here, physical. Okay.
I'll find it and let you know later.
All right then.
We'll tweet it. Maybe I'll just cut it, and you might just hear my voice go blah. Yeah.
It's good, and they're very dedicated. They're very nice. Proud of it.
I played Lord of the Rings: War in the North. Was to me kind of play like an offline version of the Battlefield kind of game they made.
Oh, that's cool.
Battlefront. It was like,
it wasn't them. I mean, this is Warner Brothers has the license.
Yeah, it almost kind of felt like that, but like, like the archer has the really fast arrows and the magic caster and stuff. It was like a three-player co-op, what I played. It was, there's the melee dwarf warrior thing, the mage and the elven archer. Like, the kind of stereotypes. It was very much designed around co-op. It looked pretty good. It was, what I played was linear. There was loot involved. It was almost like high-tech Gauntlet in a way. And it was almost MMOE, but not, just in like there was loot. Like the dwarf had like a spell that like tried to get their attention. Like, more RPG like that. Like, he is a tank. Stuff like that. Weird things. So it was more impressive than I thought it would be. I'm still not sure if I'm entirely sold on that. I think that's about everything I've played.
Right.
I mean, I saw the Portal 2 thing, which was just them doing the first 6 minutes. It looked good. I did all the 3DS stuff. Yeah, I think that's all I want to talk about. All right. If I think of anything else.
So I got some binary games to talk about. Okay. Because it hasn't, physical sort.
Our favorite was that card game.
It's called We Did Not Play Test This at All, or something to that effect. Basically, it's just a deck of cards. Everyone gets two cards. When it's your turn, you draw a card. There's just, the card has its rule on it. Like, so you don't have to explain rules. Just be like, do what the card says.
Right.
You drew a card that just said, you win the game.
I guess you win.
And you went first.
The condition was I won if I was not the oldest, youngest, tallest, or shortest person.
So you were average.
So average.
And you played that card. You thought you won. And then what is the card you played, Chris?
Revenge?
No, it was Spite. Because the Spite card, which was an instant play, means if someone just won and you just lost, play this card and they lose instead, but you also still lose. And the game continued.
I was very upset.
So it's very silly. It's very easy to play. A good game to play when you're enjoying beverages. My mom's in the back seat. So yes, there's that. We learned how zombie dice works.
You learned. I had no idea how
it works. It's pretty easy. I'll teach it to you. Someday we'll get a copy of that. I didn't get a chance to at the show.
I don't like zombies.
I think they sell that at Barnes & Noble.
I don't like zombies. Maybe not even in dice form. Did you play that game? Like you got? Well, you did before.
My buddy Dave and I went and sampled a game called Quack in a Box at the Indie Alley. And it's
like a game for 3-year-olds.
No, it's fantastic.
It's right there, go fish. And
what it is, you get a deck of cards that is made up of medical procedures, and you draw from a patient deck, and you have to roll a die to see how many procedures you're going to perform on this patient, and you are trying to do as many extraneous procedures as possible to charge them the most amount of money without killing them. Because if you kill too many patients and you gain too much infamy and they kick you out and they, hang you or something.
Right, of course.
And if you feel like that's going to happen, you could take all your money and escape to Switzerland. And then you just wait for the game to finish and hope you still end up with the most money.
Fine.
But everyone else gets these instant play cards, so like, I tried to...
You should have just called it malpractice.
Well, I think malpractice is one of those cards. Because, the one I played, I was trying to make this pregnant girl... do something completely ridiculous that would cost $2,800. I forget what it was. and the guy demoing the game played an HMO. So I had to roll a die, and if my die roll was between 1 and 3, the HMO stepped in and said that that procedure was unnecessary and wouldn't let me perform it. But I rolled a 4, so they let it go. And you know, you have to make sure, like every condition will say what cures it and what kills it. And if, when you cure a patient, they're done and you keep all the money. You make money per round.
That's right.
And you also get a $50 copay for every patient.
Very nice, very nice.
So, yeah, I mean, it was great fun. The guy who showed it to us, the guy who made it, he's a doctor. Like, he knows all this stuff. So it's all medically accurate. Nice little deck of cards.
Very nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's everything I played.
Yeah, that's
about it.
You
played Call of Duty.
What?
You played Call of Duty.
Yes, you played Call of Duty with Chris.
Yeah, I played some Crisis 2 on
You owned it.
It was fun. I mean, yeah, we'll have more to talk about in the coming weeks.
Yes.
For sure.
So, yeah, I mean,
I'm tired. I want to sleep.
Yeah, that was PAX. One thing is, like, the demos are too long.
I said that myself when I had that.
Yeah,
was
it's
kind
just,
of like
that. You know, you wait, you know, an hour and a half in line to see 20 minutes of L.A. Noire, which is awesome. But it's like, can I wait 30 minutes in line to see 5 minutes? That's okay.
No, for L.A. Noire, I almost...
Well, that one, for sure, but, like, you know...
The tour demo...
It took 45
like,
minutes.
Like, an hour long, yeah. So that's pretty silly. Yeah, a lot of them are really too long. Like the ones that are okay, like, the fighting games are okay because you just play thing. The shooting games are alright because you just play a round of multiplayer deathmatch or whatever. That makes sense. Like, some of these ones that are single player, like, they, I don't think they're, like, too afraid to, like, just let the game speak on its own, so they want to show a lot of it, so make sure you got the whole thing.
Well said, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, go to sleep.
Thank you.
I'm going to do the same here very shortly.
Thank you.
So that was PAX 2011, PAX East, in Boston. Boston. Yeah. So, to everyone who came out to the show, I hope you had a great time. Those of you who hung out with us, Jeff Grubb and Brian Petrovoy, for the beer we shared at the Whiskey Priest, and my buddies from Duquesne who were there, Bill and Brad, who I didn't actually see, and Dave and Eric and Matt, who I also didn't see.
Squad, you're saying we missed you.
Yeah, squaddies. Where was everybody? Like, no one came this year. Everyone was there last year. Come to PAX East next year. It's going to be fun. The new convention center, the Bonson Convention and Expo Center, very nice. Huge. Giant. So, yes. Fantastic times had by all. I hope you'll join us next year, because I'm definitely coming back. I don't, are you guys coming back?
Yes.
They said yes. So, yeah.
You know, if we can get a closer hotel.
As soon as they announce the dates, I'm getting a room at that Westin connected to the convention center. No more subways and taxis. So, yeah. That'll do it for this show. That'll do it for PAX. We'll be back on our regular schedule this Friday, I presume. And thank you for listening. And I'll do the outro. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com and twitter.com/explodingword explodingwordpress.net. No, twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Oh man, I'm sleepy. Yes, and you can find us on the iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. Thank you for listening. We are the Exploding Bro Podcast. Bye-bye.